All right, children, you're already dismissing, and I haven't dismissed you yet. Come back and sit down. Kids, kindergarten through sixth grade are dismissed for children's church. So, boy, this is going to be a wee bit of a challenge. So my headset, they discovered during announcements, wasn't working, and so I'm using a handheld mic here, and that brings its whole new set of challenges when I'm a hand talker. So I'm going to be left-hand talking today, unless I switch hands with my mic. Anyway, well, good morning again. It is truly wonderful to see you guys here today. I'm so thankful that some of you were able and willing to come out and join us here today. As I said before, this is kind of our icebreaker service to get ready for really a wonderful resurrection celebration next week, a week from today. So if you're watching us online, good morning and welcome to Ledge Rock Live online via our live stream. And know that we are really looking forward to having a great celebration next week. As I said during my normal announcements, for those of you that are just joining online, if you can come a little early, we've got some special music ahead of time, about 20 minutes worth. So come early and stay late, and let's just really have a fun day. So as I said, it's really great to see you guys here. It's been several weeks now, not meeting in person, and as Miss Paula prayed to open the service, we've had so many of you, so many of us affected by this latest COVID outbreak, and I do feel like, for the most part, we are over the hump and on the road to full-blown recovery, massive herd immunity. As I said earlier, nothing can stop Ledge Rock now. We are rolling forward, and so please continue to pray for our dear brothers and sisters that are just still maybe not ready to come out of quarantine yet. Poor Linda Solomon is very, very sick. She's in the hospital, and she is recovering, but there's a lot with her health concerns. There's a lot going on there. So please lift her up in prayer, and we'll keep you updated through our email prayer chain as far as that goes. But over the last few weeks, I especially have been extremely busy. Lots going on in my life. You know that I love the outdoors. And so I took the opportunity with less in-person meetings going on to do a little bit of fishing. And the Lord is good all the time. Good. That's good. Good response. God is good all the time. And he richly blessed my fishing attempt. And so while we were not meeting in person, I went fishing and caught the new state record walleye. Sibley wouldn't even know what a walleye really looks like. He's never caught one, especially a state record. So some of you sound like you're doubting me when I say that I caught a new state record walleye. I have a picture to prove it. Go ahead and put the picture up. There I am. So after catching the new Minnesota state record walleye, jigging a minnow is what I use, by the way, so if you're wondering, after catching that, I realized they had shortened the course for the Iditarod this year. They took a couple hundred miles off, and it was within my capabilities to do that. So I talked to Jake Way, borrowed a couple of his dogs, and I went ahead and entered the Iditarod while we weren't meeting. I had some time. I was able to win the Iditarod this year. I was busy while we weren't meeting. So some of you sound skeptical. Some of you sound skeptical. I have a picture to prove it. Go ahead and put the picture up. There I am. The least you could say is congratulations. That's a busy couple of weeks. But after winning the Iditarod, I was charged up and really ready to go. Things were going well for me. And so I went ahead and entered the Daytona 500. Now, I hadn't driven a car in 14 years, but God is good all the time, and all the time, even at the Daytona 500, God is good, and so I entered the Daytona 500. It was awesome. I've never driven a stock car before, And those things are fast, really fast. And would you believe me if I told you that I won? Some of you sound like you're doubting me. I have had proof up on the screen. I have proof. I won the Daytona 500. Go ahead and put the picture up. Some of you sound like you're still doubting, and I don't know why, because I've put pictures up to prove that I caught the Minnesota State record walleye. I won the Iditarod 2021. That was really fun, by the way. And then I won the Daytona 500. We have pictures to prove it. Maybe you're still doubting because there's a saying, seeing is believing, but maybe not so much today. Maybe not so much in the day that we live in. Maybe now it's not really seeing is believing. Boy, the truth is, the reality is that, yeah, get those pictures down. That was fun. The reality is that we live in a day when there is so much doctored information out there. What can we really trust? We live in a day when pictures don't speak 1,000 words. In fact, they cause us to doubt even more. We get news media. We get stuff all the time in our inboxes on Facebook. We get information and notifications that are falsified all the time. And it causes us to doubt and causes us to be skeptical. It's sad the day and age that we live in when not only photos are doctored, but because I didn't really catch the state record walleye. That's coming up after the 15th opener around here, maybe then. But anyway, I didn't really win the Daytona 500. We live in a day when pictures are so easily doctored, and then some people grab a hold of that and then get very upset, and really it was all just false information. It's sad. That's the reality that seeing isn't truly believing. Sometimes when we see these falsified news documents, these pictures and these videos that are on YouTube and all over, it causes us to be skeptical. It causes us to doubt the truth behind it. What can we really trust? Well, today we're in the book of John. We're in the second to last chapter of the book of John. It's chapter 20. And John, in particular, was written by the Apostle John, and it was written that we would believe, that we would believe that Jesus is the Messiah, that he was crucified on a Roman cross. The book of John was written that we would believe that he was resurrected from the dead, walked on the earth, and is ascended back up to heaven. The book of John was written so much later than Matthew, Mark, and Luke to fill in some of the gaps, to answer some of our questions, to prove the deity of Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John is one of my favorite books, one of my favorite gospels. It's a neat gospel, and I highly encourage reading it and allow the Spirit to just reveal the truth of who Jesus really is. Now, today in our passage of Scripture, and I'll read it and explain it as we go through it, but we're after the resurrection of Jesus. He's revealed himself to Mary, to some of the women, to some of the disciples, and today we're in the story of Thomas, when Jesus shows himself and reveals himself to Thomas, and how then we can learn from that and apply that to our lives here today. So let's go ahead and jump in today. Book of John, chapter 20, and we're going to be in verse 24 to begin with. And the Scripture says, "But Thomas, called Twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples were telling him, 'We've seen the Lord.' But he said to them, 'If I don't see the mark, the nails in his hands, put my finger into the mark of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will never believe.' A week later, his disciples were indoors again, and Thomas was with them. Even though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.' Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and look at my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Don't be faithless, but believe." Thomas responded to him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the chance to gather here today in your house and praise your holy name and share in your word. And Father, I thank you for the message that you have given me, and I pray that you will open up our hearts and minds today. Help us lay down the cares and burdens of the week and truly hear you speak to each one of us. I pray you take this message, speak it boldly and clearly through me today, and Lord, help each of us to better understand who you are and what you've done and how it is that we can serve you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And the whole church said, amen. Amen. Boy, this is tough to hold the mic and drink and turn pages. All right. So in Jesus' day, seeing really was believing. I mean, they saw Jesus and they believed. They didn't have the YouTube. They didn't have the internet. They didn't have all of these things. They didn't have Photoshop. They didn't have photos. So seeing truly was believing. And Jesus revealed himself to his followers that they would believe in him, that they would have faith in him. Jesus wanted his followers to believe him, believe that he was dead on the cross and raised back to life from the dead, and that he was alive bodily and physically. And so he showed himself to many. He showed himself to Mary Magdalene there at the tomb. In fact, he even spoke with her. The ladies. He revealed himself to the disciples. He showed up in the room where they were gathered and met with them and talked with them. Jesus revealed himself to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of other people after his resurrection, and all of the people rejoiced. They celebrated the fact that Jesus was dead and now back to life. And then look at the first verse, verse 24. But Thomas, called Twin, one of the 12, one of his disciples, was not with them when Jesus came. Here's Jesus, back from the dead, alive, walking on the street, revealing himself, going through locked doors, showing up in rooms and talking with his followers, and Thomas missed it. He wasn't there. He missed out. Do you ever wonder, where was Thomas at? Like, what was more important than gathering with the other followers? Where was Thomas at? I mean, do you ever wonder, was he sleeping in? Was he just decided, you know what, I was up late last night and I'm just going to stay in bed for a while. Jesus is already gone. There's no real news going on. I don't know, like, I'm just going to sleep in. Do you ever wonder what Thomas was up to? Maybe he had tickets to the Vikings game. And those don't just happen every week. So, like, maybe he had a permit for the B-dub and he was on a good smallmouth topwater bite. And so he just, you ever wonder where Thomas was at? Maybe not as much as I do. But I wonder where in the world was he at? And the truth is, it's heartbreaking to serve in ministry. Those of you that have been around the church a long time or been a part in ministry all over different places, you know what I'm talking about. It's heartbreaking when God shows up and some of God's people miss it. It's heartbreaking when God does something amazing and miraculous in a church service and people are saved and lives are changed and some of God's people miss it. They're just not there. For what reason? They just miss it. Heartbreaking. And then some will doubt what actually happened. There's a part of us, our human nature, our flesh, that doubts something miraculous when we weren't there to actually witness it, to see it and take part in it. There's something that's tragic about that. Look at the next verse, 25, at least the beginning. So the other disciples were telling him, "We've seen the Lord." These disciples were so excited. Imagine their heartbreak. Jesus was crucified and he died there on the cross, and with him all their hopes and dreams died as well. They were expecting a conquering king to liberate them from the Democrats or the Republicans or the independents or whoever. They were expecting Jesus to liberate them, and he died. And they were distraught. In fact, most ran and hid for fear of their own lives as well. And here he appears again alive, and they are crazy excited, super excited, and they just want to share with everybody. They've encountered the risen Lord. And then look at Thomas's response, heartbreaking and sad response to their excitement. I'll just read the whole verse 25. So the other disciples were telling him, "We've seen the Lord. He's alive. He's risen. He was here with us." But Thomas said to them, "If I don't see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger into the mark of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will never believe." Sad tragic response. Here the disciples had seen the Lord, and in fact he had shown them the marks of the nails in his hands and in his side from the spear. He'd shown himself and his marks to the other disciples, and they believed and they were so excited. And Thomas said, "Unless I actually touch it, unless I actually put my finger there, I will never believe." Now I don't know about you, but for me, like, seeing Jesus resurrected, if he'd show up in my office some morning, that'd be great. Absolutely, I'm all in. Seeing Jesus, I mean, welcome. Lord, come anytime. Absolutely. Touching his wounds, I don't know about that. Like, I think I would be good with just seeing, putting my finger into his nail-scarred hands. I don't know about that. I'm not sure about that one. But the truth is, sometimes you and I are guilty of being skeptical at a revelation of the Lord in someone else's life, in someone's life that we maybe didn't get to see. We doubt a little bit a movement of God because we weren't eyewitnesses, and it's tragic and it's sad. You've heard of the great revival going on at some church, maybe a local church, maybe some national church, and in the bottom of your heart, do you doubt a little bit of the transformed lives? Well, yeah, they may be reaching whole neighborhoods of people, but they're only doing it because they watered down the gospel. They're not really preaching that the only way to be saved is by faith in a risen Savior. They must just be naming it and claiming it. Health and wealth and prosperity, like God can't move anywhere in any way in any time he wants. The truth is, we're made of flesh, and sometimes we doubt when we don't actually get to see it. And so what's the solution for you and I? What's the answer to that dilemma? It's simple. Be with God's people. Be with God's people. Don't miss out. Don't miss out on what God's doing. Be around God's people. Just do life with God's people. I'm so glad to be a part of a church family where we are truly all about relationships, loving each other and serving each other and doing life together, knowing and growing and serving the Lord and taking the name of Jesus all over the world. It's so good to be a part of a church family like this. How do we never end up like Thomas, doubting and skeptical, and just don't miss out on what God's doing? Be a part of it, and then trust that he is God. Look at how cool Jesus is, in case you're wondering, in case you're doubting. Verse 26, a week later, his disciples were indoors again, and Thomas was with them this time. Even though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Two awesome truths about Jesus. There's many, many awesome truths about Jesus. Two that are revealed right here in this little verse. If death and a sealed tomb couldn't contain Jesus, then locked doors aren't going to stop him either. He shows up even though the doors were locked. Jesus is omnipresent. He's God everywhere, all at once. If the tomb couldn't keep him, locked doors aren't going to either. The second thing, cool truth that's revealed here, is when Jesus shows up, especially around believers, he brings peace. He says, "Shalom. May peace be with you." Look at this passage is so rich in who Jesus is and who we are and our human nature and how he meets us where we're at. Look at Jesus' care and compassion for one of his followers that needed or from him. Look at how Jesus handles Thomas in verse 27. So I guess let me set the stage a little more. Here, Jesus has shown himself to all these other followers. We don't know how many were there for sure. Probably many, because there were women there as well that aren't even mentioned. And here he's shown himself and showed his nail-scarred hands and his side. He's shown himself. And here Thomas is doubting. He's not having any of it. He says, "I need more than just the revelation of Jesus. I need to actually touch him." And I mean, Jesus could have been mad. He could have been upset. He could have said, "I have been here. I have walked with you. I have shown myself. I just appeared through a locked door, and that's not enough." Jesus had every right to be upset with Thomas for his doubting. But look at how Jesus handles it in verse 27. "Then Jesus said to Thomas, 'Come here, loved one. Put your finger here and look at my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Don't be faithless, but believe.'" Why Jesus want his disciples to see him? He wants them to trust him as who he said he is. What about us today? He wants us to believe. He revealed himself to Thomas, and he said, "Do more than just simply see me, touch me, don't be faithless, but instead believe." Jesus revealed himself to his followers that they would have faith in him, that they would trust in him, and he met each of them right exactly where they were. Look at the response that Thomas has for the getting to touch Jesus. Look at this. That's the right response to the revelation of Jesus. It's the right response to the realization that Jesus is exactly who he says he is. Verse 28, Thomas responded to Jesus, "My Lord and my God." What a response. That's the right response, by the way, to the revelation of Jesus, "My Lord and my God." Mary at the tomb and Thomas here in this upper room and all the disciples and the hundreds and hundreds of people that Jesus had revealed himself to, the resurrected Lord, walking on the earth, eating meals, talking with people, showing up anywhere at any time. He reveals himself to all these people, and it led to their worship. Their worship and adoration, the recognition that Jesus is Lord and God. His revelation led to their worship and their changed lives. Every one of the early disciples but John died a martyr's death for their faith in this risen Lord Everyone but John. John died of old age, and he preached a message of loving God and loving others. So what about you and I today? I mean, we realize that we're not going to actually get to see Jesus like this. We're not going to get to touch Jesus today. What about us? What about you and I? Are we just hopeless? Is there no hope, or what can we do? Well, the truth is that Jesus reveals himself today in many different ways. He still is in the business of revealing himself. It's just not physically standing with us in the same room. Some of the ways that he reveals himself is through his presence as the Holy Spirit now. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. The Spirit is omnipresent. God is all over. And if you are a born-again believer, a born-again follower of Jesus, you know what I'm talking about when I say that the Spirit reveals God, his word, his truth, and who he is, his nature. And we can now know the Lord intimately through the Spirit of God. The Spirit indwells every true believer. We don't just get to encounter him. He lives in us that we can live through him. Sometimes the Lord reveals himself through dreams and visions. It's amazing. Some of our missionary stories, especially in Muslim countries, where there may not be a strong presence of the gospel or any presence of the gospel, the Lord is revealing himself to some in visions and dreams. And they're leaving their homes and walking many, many miles to find someone that can tell them the truth of Jesus. And they're, by faith, trusting in this risen Savior, and their lives are being changed, and whole villages are being reached through dreams and visions. It's crazy for us to think of. We're not eyewitnesses, but it's happening all around the world. The Lord reveals himself through the Spirit, through dreams and visions, sometimes now through conviction of the Spirit in our hearts. If you have yet to put your faith in Jesus, listen to the Spirit speak into your heart, and he'll open your eyes to understand his truth, your sin, and the only hope that you have to ever be made right with God is through that personal relationship with Jesus. He'll reveal that to you through conviction in your heart. But one of the primary ways that the Lord reveals himself to the world today is through born-again believers. It's the whole salt and light thing. It's you and I now indwelt by his very presence, walking on the earth, and people can see God and his goodness by looking at us, brother and sister, born again followers. You and I may not get to sit down and have a meal with Jesus today. We might not be able to physically get to see him or touch him yet. But look at verse 28. I'm sorry, verse 29. Jesus, see me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. For the disciples, seeing really was believing. For them, in Jesus' day, seeing was absolutely believing. But for us today, we're tasked with believing without seeing. That's what faith is. That's what faith is all about. Hebrews 11:1 tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Ephesians 2, the beginning of verse 8, says that we are saved by grace through faith. Faith is what unlocks our salvation. Faith delivers us from death into life in Jesus. Hebrews 11:6 says that without faith, you cannot. It's impossible to please God. The disciples got to actually see Jesus. You and I today are tasked with believing without actually seeing, which is what faith is. We walk by faith and not by sight. We live in a day when we can't trust a lot of what we see. We live in a day when we can't trust what we hear, what we watch on TV. Jesus tells us That those of us now that can't actually physically see him, but yet we do choose to put our faith in him, we will be richly blessed. Richly blessed now and for all of eternity because we can't see, but yet we do believe. And one day soon, you and I will get to see Jesus. We will get to see him. We will get to touch him. And together, we will worship the risen King in glory for all of eternity. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the fact that now today we can believe because you are in believers. You are around us. You are revealing yourself in many, many ways. And Lord, I thank you that you have trusted us enough to be your presence here on this earth. And Lord, for those that are listening today, those that are here among us today that may be doubting in some degree, Father, increase our faith. Grow our faith. Help us to truly remove that final stumbling block and instead fully turn to and trust in you. May you change our lives. Grow us to be more like you, that you will be so exalted in our lives and then here on this earth. We pray all that in Jesus' name. Amen.